Clubhouse.
Welcome to Interview with a Podcast, a Pod Clubhouse original. I'm Caroline from Daily Review.
And I'm Mike from Pop Culture Review. Each week on Interview with a Podcast, we sit down for a chat with a podcast or website and its creators.
Here at Pod Clubhouse, our main goal is to create a community of collaboration among podcasters and their friends.
If someone has something to say, has a passion for a topic, we want the Clubhouse to be a way for content creators to find their voice.
Through Interview with a Podcast, we'll be able to highlight a diverse array of podcasts from TV to music, movies to comedy.
Maybe it'll be a sports podcast one week, or a DIY home projects podcast. Hopefully we can help you discover the next must-listen-to true crime podcast.
Each episode gives you, the listener, a chance to meet and decide if their podcast is a fit for you.
That's right. We've got two goals here. With Interview with a Podcast, we hope to be a destination for listeners to get curated podcast recommendations. And for content creators, we hope to be an outlet to increase visibility and listenership. It's the rising tide lifts all boats approach to collaboration.
If there's a podcast you think we should feature on Interview with a Podcast, send us a DM and we'll see if we can set up an interview.
With that, I think it's time we get to this week's guest.
This is Paul with Daily Review.
And this is Mike from Pop Culture Review.
And today, Mike and I are going to interview a podcast that I have met a few times in person by visiting the ATX Festival in Austin, Texas. I've met Derek several times, but I've not met Mike from the Geekdom Fancast. Would you guys like to say hi?
Hello to all the pop culture world.
Hi, this is Mike. That other voice was Derek, just so you guys know.
Oh, yeah, I guess we should specify that.
Thanks for having us on.
No problem.
Thanks for coming on. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for making time to visit with us.
Oh, man, love you guys. I am so thrilled that we've been trying to get this, for like a year now trying to do this, and I'm so happy we finally got it together.
So, Geekdom, does that cover what I think it covers? I mean, I've listened to a little bit of your podcast, so I get an idea, like, if it's genre, fiction, that kind of thing, or maybe games I know you cover, but what all do you cover?
I'm going to let Mike go first.
Well, we started off doing just the normal television and movies, and then we started to branch off and do a video game format every once a month. And Derek, for a while, was doing fantasy football, too, because that's kind of geeky and nerdy. And every once in a while, Derek gets a chance to meet someone in media or someone in entertainment. So we've had Josh Molina on. We've had Blake Neely, the composer. We've had a few people of note on, and we get to talk to them about their podcast. But it's mostly entertainment, movies, and television, and whatever we're geeking out about. We've done comics a little bit. We've kind of had friends that do more comics than we do, so we kind of branched away from that. But there's been times when like one of our friends works for Aspen Comics and came on the podcast to talk about a comic that he actually worked on, so we did that for a little bit. But you know, just all that nerdy superhero stuff for the most part. Yeah, that's all we talk about.
Let's take a step back. When did you guys get started, and like kind of what brought you two together to even start the Geekdom Fancast?
Derek, what do you remember?
I don't know why I just find it such a random way how we even became friends. It doesn't sound random once you tell it, but for some reason, I never met anyone the way I met you.
I was working at a Journeys shoe store. I don't know if you guys have those where you're at.
Sure. Birkenstocks, right?
Yeah, I was selling Derek some shoes, and I got bored when I was working there, so I kind of just shot the shit with Derek, and we talked about what he was up to and like what he does and stuff, and he expressed an interest at the time in doing like this editing project, and it just sounded like in general we had a lot of things in common, and so we kind of kept in touch. There was a one point where I had lost that job because my store closed, and I kind of was like flailing in the wind. I was like dipping my toes into production out here in LA and doing some screenwriting and stuff. But I needed some output, so I was like, I talked to Derek. I was like, hey man, do you want to start a podcast? Just something to do, just some sort of creative output we could do there, and like just talk about what we're doing, because a lot of like production stuff is like kind of serving a later project that comes out. You know, I really wanted to work on something that we could just release and have like something out there that we've created and finished and can be consumed. And Derek at the time was doing a lot of, well, you still do it now, but you went to a lot of conventions, you went to a lot of screenings and stuff, and it was kind of an output for you too. Is that how you remember it, Derek?
Yeah, I was just starting to get into podcasts, even listening. I am a big fantasy football fan, and I had started listening to ESPN has some fantasy football and fantasy baseball podcasts, and then I started getting into the Kevin Smith world of podcasts. because, you know, he is kind of, if there's a Mount Rushmore podcast, I think he should be on it.
How did you get his tag on your podcast? How'd you get that?
That was a project in my head forever. He did a in-store at a dispensary in, I think it was Van Nuys, I think?
You should say it was Be Real from Cypress Hills Dispensary. So it was
okay,
like,
well, I was trying to get the location of which one. I forget which one it was. But yeah, it was like
a twofer.
Yeah, it was Be Real's chain of stores that he has. And he was doing an in-store because they released Jay and Silent Bob, like, blunts, I guess, that you could buy. Like, it's their signature, like, blunt strain, whatever. And he did an in-store to, the thing was, is, like, he would be there and you could get a picture with him and stuff and meet him. But you had to buy his said product to meet him. But, like, I was, I don't care. I'll do that. In my head, I was thinking, you know, I always have in my head that, like, I'd love to have the opportunity to try to get him to do a drop for us. And this one, we went, and there wasn't a lot of people for reasons I still don't understand why there wasn't a lot of people. But basically what I did is it was very casual. It wasn't rushed. It was very a relaxed atmosphere. Like, I've gone to enough signings and stuff to know that, like, when it's a stressful situation or when they're in a hurry. And it seemed very calm and, like, mellow. So what I did is I just waited until the line was done, and I just hung out in the store and waited until he was done. I went up to the lady that was kind of being the handler of the event, and I said, you know, I'm like, I already got my stuff signed. I got a picture with him. I'm like, I just love him to, you know, drop a little podcast introduction for me on my phone here. You know, I'll wait till everyone's done, you know, and until, you know, and I'll just do it real quick. And she's like, oh, okay, sure. So after, you know, he was done with the last person, she walked up to him and she's like, oh, this guy would like to have you do a recording for him. And he comes up, he's like, hey, what are you on? And I just told him, I said, oh, do you mind doing an intro for me for my podcast? It would mean, you know, a ton to me. It means so much. He just puts his hand out. He's like, give me your phone. And then, like, and then he did it right there. So it was easy peasy. And I couldn't be more grateful to him for being such a cool guy about it.
Did you guys ever check out his show, Hollyweed? Did they ever come across your path? It was like 2018. It was like an indie show, but there were some copies that went floating around and stuff. It was a very interesting trip.
He played the first episode, or it was, I think, the first two episodes at Comic-Con like 2 years ago. He had a panel, and the panel was to show that episode because he was trying to get, I think, funding, or was a Kickstarter or something. I forget what it was.
Yeah, he was like trying to put it on like CISO or like one of those like real indie like streamers and stuff. Yeah, I got a screener of it and saw the first couple episodes. It was interesting.
It was fun. My problem with it was that, and it's nothing against him, I want to make sure to say that, but I just don't think he's a lead. And he was the lead actor for the show. They should have got somebody else, or somehow like got a different, or maybe paired him with somebody else. Cause he was the main focal actor for the show, and it didn't work for me.
It was a lot of dialogue for him, which is, you know, not necessarily his forte. You know, there's a reason why Jay and Silent Bob works as well as it does.
It was pretty mildly funny, but I have a feeling that if he would have been able to direct somebody else, or like put his focus on someone else carrying the show, then he probably could have focused more on the writing or like other things. I feel like he was maybe trying to do too much, and maybe the writing suffered.
Was Muse in it?
I'm trying to remember. I don't think so, huh?
He wasn't in it. It was Danelle Rawlings, I think it was. The guy, I think it was on Chappelle's show. He was like the other lead. It was like the two of them. It was their vehicle. They ran a dispensary, basically. They operated like a weed dispensary, and it was like Clerks, but like with like a weed, you know?
That's a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it.
That was what I thought the entire time while I watched it.
And then Frankie Shaw was on it, who I massively love, and I think she's awesome. So she was cool to have it, but it didn't have his spark of dialogue. It wasn't as sharp tongued or as witty. Like, it kind of just like felt safe.
All right. So before I interrupted you about the Kevin Smith stuff, that you were telling us how you were kind of getting ramped up into the potosphere.
Oh, with, yeah.
The Kevin Smith stuff.
So I was like kind of just like slowly wading into the podcast thing. And Mike was way more cultured with podcasting and listening to podcasts and stuff. So but
I don't know that anyone has ever called listening to podcasts being cultured.
For me, it was just depression. I was like unemployed and working gigs every now and then, and I would be playing like Civilization on Steam or like Roller Coaster Tycoon, and then like listening to, at the time, it was the Nerdist podcast. Yeah, I got into it because it was like I had friends, and it was like I got to like hang out with people when I was just kind of like where we're all now, just like quarantined in our own apartments and homes and stuff.
It was just one of those things that, like, I think one of the main things is because of Kevin Smith and like his geek culture-ness of talking about conventions and movies and TV and stuff. And I had already gone and seen, I think I'd already gone and seen Hollywood Babylon by then. I'm not sure. But basically, he was doing something that I would want to do. Like, he's sitting there talking about pop culture. I'm like, yeah, of course, I'm a nerd and a geek and I have opinions. And of course, I want to talk about what movie sucks or what TV show is good and stuff. So when Mike's like, hey, do you want to get on this platform and do this? And I'm like, yes.
It was way too easy not to.
You mentioned Blake Neely before, and my ears perked up. I'm a huge fucking Arrowverse fan. I love Blake Neely's music that he does for the show. So you said that name, and like it instantly popped for me. How do you guys decide what you cover, like, week to week? Are you doing it for yourselves, like, what you're interested in? Or are you like, trying to appeal to a certain demographic or, you know, a certain crowd?
If we're appealing to a crowd, I don't know what that crowd is.
like-minded fellows. Yeah.
When we have people like Blake Neely or Josh Molina on, it's just because Derek and I are fans and Derek has the courage to go up and ask them to be on the podcast. And I have the courage to actually say stuff when we're not face to face. So, and then we're both just naturally curious about all their mediums. And we're also big fans of anyone we have on. It just works out naturally. And it's cool to have great conversations with them.
We very rarely have anyone on that we don't know of. There's been a couple people that we've had on saying like, hey, this person would like to come on your show. I think you should talk to them. And, you know, we do it because we trust the people that tell us that. And every single person has always worked out and been a good person to have on. But for the most part, it's someone that we have interest in and I seek them out.
Or we're friends with them. In those cases, we talk to them a little bit about what they do, but we just ended up talking like we would normally amongst ourselves about whatever pop culture topic of the day that is coming up, like the whatever award show or whatever movie that's coming out. We even like to talk to our more working actor or our more popular guests. Like that too. I think it's more interesting than sometimes like the stuff that people normally usually get into with them.
That's the thing. There's so many of our friends that are talented writers, actors, musicians, whatever, and we want to have them on because we think that they're interesting. So we want to put it out to the general public to other people will hopefully find them interesting.
So with those guests and that kind of desired audience, have you had any memorable moments on the podcast you can talk about?
I want Mike to go first because I made a long list, so I'm just going to basically go with whatever he doesn't say.
Also, one of the most fun moments that we had was last year during our holiday break. I broke my arm on an ATV because I got too cocky. It was my first time ATVing, and I had it down too well in my head, and then I broke my arm. And then the show must go on, so even though I was on a bunch of painkillers like Percocet and stuff, we still had guests come on, and one of my favorite moments, and it's kind of like one of our most popular moments that we got the most feedback on, was when I was on drugs, basically painkillers. And I think I did have like a little bit of cannabis from our guests. We yelled a lot about Aquaman. And it was very fun, and I really like when podcasts go off the rails in that way, and especially for that movie, which was kind of like an off-the-rails kind of movie anyways, and that we have a lot of varying opinions about, so it got yelly and fun. And other than that, I think when we talked to Josh Molina about The West Wing, and he was talking about, I'm a big Sorkin fan, his earlier stuff, even his later stuff was not bad, Studio 60 was okay,
Studio 60 was a lot better than people think it was.
I love Studio 60.
I will die on that Sorkin hill.
I appreciate it. I was going to bite my tongue, but yeah, I had a lot of fun watching it, and same with The Newsroom. So
thank you, other Mike. Thank you. Yes,
Studio 60. I'm a huge fucking Sorkin fan. I mean, I watched The West Wing. I could quote all the episodes to you pretty much. I'm a big Sorkin guy. Newsroom, Studio 60.
Hey, so. We have this episode with Josh Molina. No.
that was another memorable one for me. It was because I'm a big Sorkin fan too, and then we got to talk to Josh about his time with them, and he told a story about how like he got one of his roles right because he saved, what was it, Derek? He saved Aaron Sorkin's life or like something like that, or like,
yeah, didn't he do the Heimlich on him or something?
Yeah, he did the Heimlich on him, and then that, like, famously, I he's probably talked about it in other interviews before, but it was cool talking to the man himself. And I guess I'll say one of the other ones that comes to mind is we actually got to interview the cast of Parasite last year, like in October before the movie started to really blow up. So that was really cool, even though it was kind of awkward because we never did a podcast before with a cast that didn't speak our language, but we navigated it pretty well. That was just cool for me.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Way to be ahead of the zeitgeist. Yeah. Jeez.
Wow.
How about you, Derek? What's cooking on your best moments list?
I just want to like add on to that just because we've never really talked about it. The Parasite one is not only did we geek out on doing it because, you know, we got to see the movie before it even came out. They sent us to a screening and we got to see it beforehand so we could be prepared. And we loved the shit out of the movie. So it was one of the things that like we knew we were interviewing the cast, but then we saw the movie and we're like, holy crap, we can't wait to do this. Like we got so much more excited because we liked the movie so much. But the funny thing was, so we had to do it like, I forget, it was like 10 o'clock in the morning or something, 11 o'clock in the morning. And I went to Mike's house so we could record and Mike fell asleep. And so I'm sitting there and we had the time that we were supposed to be on. They're like, okay, we're going to call you at this time. They had our number and everything. I'm sitting here at Mike's door. It's like, I think, so let's say it's at 10 a.m. They're going to call. I'm at like 9:55 and I'm like ringing Mike's doorbell, blowing up. So I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then Mike finally comes downstairs. He's like, I fell asleep. And I'm like, oh my God. So we're like running to his computer, booting it up, trying to get our headphones on, like get the soundboard. And like, thankfully they were like 10 or 15 minutes late. So we were able to like get everything together. And then they're like, all right, you guys ready to go? And we're like, yeah, just a second.
That's fantastic.
They're like, sorry, we're late. You're like, it's all right. It's cool. No big deal.
I think people would be shocked if they ever saw the behind the scenes at a lot of podcasts, though. I don't think maybe the sleeping aspect of it, but I think people would be shocked at how by the seat a lot of these recordings come together. So
yeah, the funny thing on that one was, is I had a massive, like, I know you could say professional courtesy check. Because it was like 5 minutes till and I'm like, do I call them and cancel? Do I say this isn't going to happen? Like, what do I do? Like, and just like, thankfully, like I'm sitting there at Mike's doorstep. I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
He's like, have some Percocet. The show must go on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. That's you got to listen. That one's so good. Anyways, I would put that one in my tops, too. But I will go a kind of a different way is we did a one. It was actually probably within our first 25 episodes. We did one with two of our friends. We called it our growing up geek episode. And we basically just sat around and talked about all the cartoons we used to watch and the music we used to listen to when we were growing up. And, you know, it was basically everything from like our teenage years, or our early 20s. And, you know, we talked about concerts we went to and like everything. And it was just a really good nostalgic turn with two really good friends of ours. And I really enjoyed that one. I don't know why. For some reason, we're almost 200 episodes in and this was in like our first 20 or whatever. And I always think about how much I really love that episode.
I think that's one of those episodes that you realize that podcasting makes you converse in a way that you normally don't do with your friends. So even if me and Derek are hanging out, we still have like phones in front of us or whatever. Like, this medium is so fun because you have to sit and talk and like fill space and just say whatever comes to your mind for a full hour, in our case a full hour. So how, like, you never get to do that with anyone really in your life. Like, how often does that happen? So it was cool getting that deep with two people that there are good friends online, but like we don't get to see all the time because Lisa, our friend, lives in on the East Coast, and then our friend Dana is a father now, and so that just doesn't happen a lot.
Last one, when Stan Lee passed away, we're trying to think of something different because we're like, okay, every podcast is going to come out there and say, let's talk about Stan Lee and how much he meant to us, and like everyone's going to do the same thing. You know, we got to do something different. So what we did is we reached out to a lot of our past guests, friends, or even, you know, people that we weren't close to, people that maybe just been on once or twice. Those people did not return our calls. But we just sent to people. We said, look, we were putting this Stan Lee tribute episode out. I can't remember the time. I think we just said like keep it like 5 minutes or short or whatever. But we just had people send Mike audio clips of what Stan Lee meant to them. And then Mike and I did a little 15, 20 minute intro, you could say, of what he meant to us. And then we played everybody's personal tributes. So it wasn't like we had all these different guests on like, hey, let's all talk about Stan Lee. It's like we had everyone have their own little moment tribute to Stan on their own. And Mike and I just kind of like brought everybody together.
That's a very manageable way to create something with a lot of content in it.
Yeah, I forget how many. Mike, do you remember how many people we got? I don't remember.
In the dozens, I think. I'm not sure.
Over 10, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you guys actually mentioned the Parasite and get interviewed the cast and see it beforehand, and it blew up into this thing, which leads me into a question I love when we talk to the, you know, podcasts that get to do things and have good coverage. What kind of opportunities has doing the podcast opened for you guys? I know we talked a little bit about ATX before we started recording, but when you look back on it, what has Geekdom Fancast done for you that you maybe not would have been able to do otherwise?
Free Comic-Con passes.
Fuck yeah. I hear you, brother.
Yeah, that free screenings has always been fun. Free press screenings, we love that. We got our first screener link the other day, so we could just watch a movie. It was Buffaloed with Zoe Deutsch, right? And then we got to watch that. So that's my thing is watching that. I'm too shy to meet a lot of people. That's Derek's forte. So a lot of the stuff I love to do is when we get free comic books or whatever deals from PR, and then all we have to do is talk about them. But Derek, you got to sit in a lot of cool press junkets and stuff, right?
The thing that it's done for me is every time we get we started submitting for press credentials for Comic-Con, ATX, WonderCon. And what I didn't know, because I'd never done it before, was that, you know, once you submit for this and get accepted, all of a sudden you get a flood of emails from all these people saying, like, interview our comic book writer, interview our comic book creator, interview our video game people, interview our actors, our directors. And I'm like, holy crap, look at all this. And, like, it's a smorgasbord of riches that is amazing that you get to, like, have all these people that want to talk to you and they want your time and they want you to sit down. We're, like, you know, we're usually having to go out there and, like, will you please talk to us? This is people coming to you and saying, like, okay, will you give us your time? I've interviewed the cast of Fear the Walking Dead like 4 times. I am a massive, massive, massive Alicia Debnam Carey fan. I think she is really underrated actress. So stuff like that, I love so much. Last year at Comic-Con, they did basically the entire AMC network block where I was in a room for 2 hours. They did The Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead, Preacher, and The Terror Infamy back to back to back. I mean, it was amazing to just sit there and have all these people just keep coming in one after another of all these talented actors and creators and just sit there and listen to them talk and we can ask them questions and stuff. So anything to do with getting to meet the professionals and the creators that I enjoy. And like, it's different if I just say it myself, but we get to record it and then we put out the panels or set interviews on our podcast. So we share it with others too. So it's like, hey, we got this for you.
I'll also add meeting a lot of people like you two and other people with other podcasts in the community. We've got to guest on a lot of fun podcasts and we've made friends with a lot of people because of guesting on their podcasts or them coming to guest on ours. And it's a cool little thing when you get to meet like-minded people and BS and talk about your nerdy stuff that you used to hide as a kid or you only talked to 2 people as a kid and now it just explodes and the scene is everywhere. It's that's fun too. Like we got to talk about the intricacies of the comic book world, or one of our friends does like really low budget B horror movies, and we got to hear about him going to Alabama on a shoestring budget and like shooting this like crazy clown movie with actors that you would kind of know if you like saw their face on TV and stuff. So that's been really cool too.
I bet I know some of the answers, but if you could have anyone on your podcast, who would you have?
Mike's going first, because everyone's going to know my answers already.
Anyone who wrote on seasons 1 through 3 of Community, I would love to talk to.
Did you ever listen to the Harmontown? Yes, you ever listen to Harmontown?
Yeah, I was a big Harmontown guy for a long time.
Yeah, R.I.P. I was really sad when it left.
I know, me too. But yeah, have you guys, any of those guys would be great.
Have you guys checked out Danny Pudi in Mythic Quest on Apple TV?
No, I want to.
He's awesome. He's like the opposite of Abed, but the character he plays there. But it's a great show. Great, great show.
Yeah,
it looks like the sort of thing I would enjoy. I just haven't put it on the queue just yet.
Speaking of which, Megan Gans wrote on that, and she wrote on the first 3 seasons of Community. She like was one of the main people that came up with that Remedial Chaos Theory episode where they were like rolling the die to see what their world would be like depending on who went to go get the pizza or whatever, and that's like one of my favorite episodes of TV. So yeah, I should check it out. I think it sounds right up my alley, and I love video games too.
That was actually one of the first things Micah and I ever bonded on, I think, was Community.
Yeah. What about you, Derek? Who would be? We've gotten a lot of your people
on. Yeah, but not the you know, the top echelon of people we'll probably never get on, but Gary Oldman, Margot Robbie, Evan Rachel Wood, Kevin Smith.
Here's the list.
Yeah. In a more realistic, hopefully, way, and I'm working on it still to this day, is a girl that a lot of people don't know is a lady named Molly McCook. She's on Last Man Standing on Fox. She's one of my favorite actresses. I think she is the most underrated actress working today. I think she's incredible, and I've been trying to get her on, and it just hasn't worked. And I've met her several times, and I'm determined to get her on, and it's going to happen. At some point.
Positivity.
Yes.
I heard your most recent podcast, and I could tell you have some enthusiasm behind that Evan Rachel Wood.
Oh, man. And you know what? The thing is with her, the thing is that makes it all the more enticing is that when you meet some of these people, you know, there's been some bad ones, of course, too, but like, I've met her probably a dozen times, and she's like the nicest person you will ever meet in your entire life. She is so generous, so kind. She like talks to you and you actually feel like she wants to talk to you, and she's not just trying to like FaceTime you or like keep you happy. Like, she actually wants to talk to you, and she's just a really great person.
It's great when you meet these people that you watch and that you idolize or you're a fan of, and they meet or surpass your expectations just as equally in the opposite direction when you have a bad experience. You know, when you walk home, you're like, God, that guy was an asshole, you know? So it's always interesting when you're a fan yourself and then you come face to face with someone like an Eva Rachel Wood and it works out. It never gets old, I think. Yeah. Have you guys gotten used to meeting, you know, celebrities yet? Does that ever get old for you?
Mike won't do it.
I get a little, I'm shy, but it's cool. I haven't gotten used to like being around them. That's been interesting. Even writers I'm shy with, which is crazy. But when they come on the podcast, it's been easier when we're kind of separated by Skype to just talk to them. And it's actually been really enjoyable, like the reception they get. And I don't think I get used to it, but I feel more comfortable doing it.
I've talked about this already before on the show. And because of what we're doing now, I have to say it again, though. I literally lost my shit last year when I was lucky enough to go to a screening of Avengers Endgame. And they had the entire crew there. It was both the directors, both the Russo brothers, Kevin Feige, both the writers. They had, they had the guy that did the score. They had the special effects guy, the casting director, the costume. I mean, it was all of them. And it was my favorite movie of last year. And they did, and like, you had all those people in front. And it was, for reasons I will never understand, the room was only half full. I guess because it didn't have actors and people only care about actors. I don't know. It was ridiculous. But like, it was like a half full room. It was horrible. To me, at least. But I got to ask them a question. It wasn't like they just gave me like some 2-minute answer and that was it. It's like one of the Russo brothers took it, and then Feige took it, and then one of the writers took it. So like, I got like 4 or 5 people off my one question, and I just like lost my shit. Like, oh my god, it just keeps going. They're like, well, I would like to contribute. Yeah, my thought is, and they just kept jumping with it. I'm like, oh my god, they all love this question, and like, oh, I lost it.
And I will say, if people haven't listened to that episode, Derek, for me, he asked the Russo brothers if they were like even thinking about a community movie, and apparently they seemed really receptive to it. So hopefully, cross our fingers, if we get through all this, we can get that and a movie.
And that question was for Mike. I purposely asked that question for Mike.
And I still thank you to this day.
I don't know that the world deserves a community movie. I don't even know what that would be like.
Yeah.
If it's done by the Russo brothers, we deserve it.
I'd settle for just a couple more Rick and Morty episodes at this point.
Oh, I know. It seems like they should be able to knock those out now.
Right.
Well, they ordered 76, right? Didn't they order 76 in bulk? And I think they've only done a handful of them. So, or they've only put out a handful of them. Yeah.
As a Venture Brothers fan, I'm kind of used to this because that show took like 3 or 4 years between seasons. But Rick and Morty is just so dense and like so easily digested that I can't just like sparse it out. So I need more too.
See, I didn't know about Rick and Morty really. I knew it existed and I knew what it was, but I knew Mike liked it, but also I guess I didn't know what it was going to grow into. And like, they were at ATX once, like I think 2-3 years ago, and I so would have jumped on trying to get them on the show if I would have freaking known this was going to happen. And I would have got it for Mike and stuff and everything, but I didn't know.
Don't you hate that about ATX particularly, is they'll because things that aren't well known do go there, and then all of a sudden they're well known. You know,
they've had shows there that have gone on to do 4 and 5 seasons. Queen of the South debuted there. They premiered Queen of the South there, and that's on I think it's going on its 4th season now or something. I mean, the West Wing reunion, which is like something that was covered in so many publications. They had the Gilmore Girls reunion, which was like in Variety or something. Like, it's crazy, like some of the stuff they're able to get.
Is ATX this year officially canceled, or are they still kind of holding out hope?
They're holding
out. I haven't seen anything yet.
Yeah, they haven't pulled the trigger on it yet, but I think probably another 2 or 3 weeks they're going to have to. So, yeah.
Right.
I'm not optimistic at all, unfortunately. And it's a Parenthood reunion, so I'm going to be so pissed.
Yeah, we were looking forward to it. That was Caroline, you know, is the whole reason we got to ATX was the Gilmore Girls reunion. And so with Lauren Graham coming back for that, she was hyper interested in going.
Yeah, I love that show so much. And it was one of those ones, like, you have certain shows that end and it, like, leaves, like, a little small hole in your life or whatever. And when that show ended, like, that was an emotional outlet that, being a single guy with no kids, that was an emotional outlet for me that I really embraced. And when it went away, like, I lost something.
This is Gilmore Girls or Community?
No, Parenthood.
Parenthood. Okay.
Yeah. I think Mike lost to all three of them. Yes to all three of them.
I think Mike lost a hole in his being when Community left.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, Rick and Morty filled it. So did Harmontown. And then all those are like, well, Rick and Morty's still around, kind of. But even Harmontown got canceled or canceled itself.
I should have asked this at the beginning of this talk. How often does Geek Them Fancast come out?
Every 1 to 2 weeks. We tried not to go too long other than that. I mean, these days, it's a little bit tougher to think of things. I mean, the most we've ever gone was like a month because of like a really crazy tragedy in our family. But yeah, we try to aim for 1 or 2 weeks, 2 weeks at the most, right, Derek?
We've gotten to the point where we don't feel that just because one of us can't be there that the show can't go on. We know a lot of other people. We've had a lot of other guests. So if there's times where one of us can't make it, we'd be like, oh, we'll just get so-and-so on and you guys can do it. Yeah, okay, we'll do that. And we just do that. So I've now not been on at least one. And Mike, I think, missed only like two. We're comfortable now with if one of us can't make it, we can still just do it anyways.
I'm glad to hear you say that, because now that you've been on the Pod Clubhouse Interview with the Podcast, we'd like to consider you guys part of the club. And if we have an opportunity to co-host coming up, we'd like to give you guys a call.
Oh, that'd be great.
You're really twisting my arm here, man. No. Yeah, dude, but I would love to join the clubhouse. Do we etch our names in the wood in the door or what?
You have to do the dance first, but
I'll take whatever initiation it is, man. I'm down.
There are robes and stuff. There's a whole thing.
There's, do I have to wear a funny hat?
Torches and sconces. It gets pretty medieval. It's pretty awesome.
As long as there's no human sacrifice, I'll go for goat still. But human, I think I'd have to draw the line. But other than that, I'm all in.
If they're bad humans, does that change your vote at all? Or
yeah, I'll do a bad human, actually.
All right, see?
I'll sacrifice old DVDs. I'll do it. No.
Paul, these are our kind of people. They're on board. Sign them up.
Right. Take their robe sizes. We'll let them know.
Mike, where are you located at?
I'm in New York. I'm based out of New York.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, okay. We naturally do this because we have people on. I have to turn around real quick. How do you guys know each other then?
We all used to work together in just different projects just over the years. We've kind of just crossed paths, and then Paul, Caroline, and I sat down and decided that we just wanted to do something kind of collaborative together. So Pod Clubhouse kind of came out of that desire to do something new and kind of fresh.
It really started, I would think, with like tweets, right? Like a preponderance of liked tweets between our accounts. It was like,
yeah,
this guy seems to think the same things that I think are funny are funny.
Yeah, know? They say it's really hard to make friends as an adult, but I don't think that's true when it's through social media. I feel like a lot of adults these days find friends and like-minded people through social media. And I think Daily Review and Pop Culture Review definitely formed a friendship that way.
Oh, that's wonderful. Awesome. Yeah, it's funny that's exactly what happened to us. We have two guys that are our friends called the Deep Fried Geeks. They're in Florida. And it was one of those things that, like, we never met, never saw them, never spoke to them. They would just, like, sometimes retweet our stuff. They'd like our stuff. Sometimes we comment on each other's stuff. After a while, we just started messaging each other, commenting each other, and then now we've had them on the show twice, and we really like them. They're really great guys, and we still haven't even met them. I've still never met them in person, but I consider them really, really good guys and good friends, and I hope someday that we can meet them.
If quarantine lets up, you mean?
Yeah, they're in the worst state for it, probably.
I was going to say, yeah. Mike is in the worst state for it. New York has the highest amount of cases.
Yeah, but Florida people are stupid.
That is...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I haven't left the house or I haven't left my apartment in about 5 days at this point. I'm looking like Grizzly Adams. And, you know, these motherfuckers down in Florida are like, you know, at the beach, like they're, yep. You know, like in a 1950s rom-com movie.
Right. Yeah. I don't know, it's motorboating each other, et cetera.
Yeah.
I I was randomly just thinking about that today, actually, of all days. It's funny that you say that, because I was thinking, like, I am so glad that I got a haircut 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. I'm coming up on, mine's getting shaggy now, and I'm
like, how are we going to get haircuts?
All right. So the only last thing we haven't covered is, where do you guys see your podcast going? What's next?
Well, unfortunately, because of the times, it doesn't, we quite don't know what the plan is now. Usually we'd be ramping up into our festival season. Derek would be going to ATX. We would be going to Comic-Con and all that stuff. But we're probably just going to keep on keeping on doing what we do. And in like we only kind of look to the very recent future or the near future. And the thing that I'm hoping that comes together after everything hopefully gets a little bit better across the world is we usually do like a summer movie wager thing. And we get together with two other podcasts, some other friends, and we kind of bet on what's going to, like, what movies are going to do what box office in the summer. Other than that, we're just going to keep on doing our thing.
What do you guys think of the way that movies are coming out right now? Like, for instance, the ability to kind of rent for the same price that you would eventually end up buying it for first release movies. How do you guys see that going? I mean, are they really just going to hold back the entire slate of new releases until sometime later this year?
Yeah, I'm guessing so. And unless people want that theater, like that IMAX money, like Fast 9, all those huge movies that are getting pushed back indefinitely, they probably want that $20 per ticket thing instead of the $20 for rent right now. And I'm sure some people just want to see their big budget movies on a big screen. I personally like that some people could still get their movies out there, like the smaller directors and producers and studios. Like if A24 wants to put a movie out there and can't afford to wait or whatever, for whatever reason, maybe A24 is a bad example because they're kind of a bigger independent studio or independent distributor, but like
an Annapurna, like, you know, yeah, Annapurna, exactly. Is a perfect example, you know.
If they need to put their money movies out there to do it, I'm glad they can, but I don't want to see the theaters die, so I hope we can salvage this.
We actually have a friend of ours, he's been on our show many times, and he writes for a movie website, and he is already trying to predict that he thinks that this is going to change movie going forward, and he thinks it might really hurt the movie industry besides the immediate future and like the ongoing future. I personally don't agree. I think financially this is going to screw up the studios and it's going to mess everything up. But I think eventually when this is over, people are still going to come back. I don't think this is just going to make people like, well, I watched Black Widow in my house, I can just keep on watching big blockbusters in my house. Like, no, people are still going to want to get out and see it on a huge screen and get their popcorn and yell at the screen or whatever. I don't see this changing the industry.
Yeah, we just got like AMC A-List and Regal is doing their thing, and I love that stuff. I love the whole season pass to the movies things. I was watching movies like almost every weekend, so I really like things were, I mean, as far as like, I'm not talking about the content they were putting up, but like as far as like being consumer friendly, like things were really heading in a cool direction as far as going to the theater was concerned. And you know, I'm sure like movies would have got better hopefully. So
I do think this is going to screw up things for probably maybe even the rest of the year, because it's going to push back the entire summer slate's probably going to get pushed back now to like August or September, October. So then what's that going to do with all the movies that were supposed to come out in the fall? They're probably going to want to push back because they're not going to want to compete with the summer movies. I don't have an exact explanation, but I just think this is going to really mess everything up for this year in the sense of like what gets released and what gets held back.
Yeah, when you get very late in the season, that's when you start to release the prestige movies,
right?
The Oscar bait. And so if you start putting those up against the ones that are supposed to be the tentpole movies, well, financially, what's going to happen?
You know, but the production companies, they have to push them back. You know, Warner Brothers and DC, they can't make the $750 million to $1 billion they're going to make on Wonder Woman 1984 on home release. They can't. They won't. You know, it's worth it to them to push it back a year. You know, they already pushed back Fast 9 because the amount of money they'll make in the theaters when the theaters come back and those movies can come out will so far eclipse what you can do at VOD. All the big blockbuster movies are going to be held. You know, they won't release them on home video. It's just too much money lost for them.
I think that the problem is they're going to possibly, they're not going to, I mean, some of them I wouldn't be surprised if they do the fast thing and they push them back to next year. But I think some of them are just going to get bumped to the fall. And then that's going to scare off, I don't know what, maybe smaller fall movies or, you know, maybe middle of the road fall movies. And we might even lose some maybe possible Oscar contender movies that are more artsy and stuff. Maybe they're going to get, the studios will get scared. And they're like, you know what, we're going to go to next year now. And we're like, I just have a bad feeling that we're going to be missing out on some really great stuff that's going to get bumped. And that's just how it is. But I think it's going to suck.
Yeah, also, I mean, we might see those movies going to this VOD model.
Maybe
if more people like have kind of like buy into it and see that show that it works.
You know, it's interesting though, without like South By, you know, I think that like back to last year, South By, without that, you don't get Booksmart in the wide release that you did. You don't get Art of Self-Defense, which were two of my favorites from South By last year. You know, they wouldn't have gotten the attention that they deserved if they had done like home release. You know, and those were great movies, but they needed the festival circuit and then people to go out and be like, you know, this movie's, you know, those movies fuck, you know, like they're awesome. And, you know, you're not going to get that, that same kind of coverage. So
that's true. It's South By and then like Toronto and then Tribeca too, right? So like if all of those are canceled.
Yeah. Well, they already canceled Tribeca.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, or, yeah, postponed.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, postponed.
So, postponed.
But then like you're saying that. That might postpone the movies that come out or their release dates or whatever. Like, they're going to be like, well, if we can't do Tribeca, we're going to come out later.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be interesting. I mean, Harrison Ford might be able to get a fucking Oscar nom for Call of the Wild, you know, this year. It's like, you know, who saw that one coming out of the gate? But, yeah, just the way the year's going to shake out. So.
Wait, so you're telling me that Sonic might have a chance to win Best Picture?
Benny Schwa, bringing it home!
I'm all about it. I'm all about it. I actually dig what's happening right now in the movies.
Oh, Lord.
That was peak Jim Carrey, man. I haven't been so excited to see Jim Carrey in a movie since the early 90s. So
yeah, they really just turned on the camera and said, okay, this you just dance, and then that's a whole scene. It was fun.
I am guaranteed there's a blooper out there of him doing Fire Marshal Bill in his like little copter thing for sure.
Yeah.
Mike had to find a way to bring it back to fucking Sonic.
Of course. Greatest movie of the year so far, right?
Oh, my God, stop it.
It was a good movie. I saw it with my son
stop
and the two of us walked out high-fiving. He was like, yo, that after credits you with Tails, it was awesome. I was like, it was really cool, Tom. So, yeah, we totally get it, man. I feel you, Mike. I feel you.
Well,
you wanted to keep real to your brand.
You went with your kid. I just went as a 33-year-old man by myself and I still had a good time.
He's just my beard, man. He's just my excuse to go see those kinds of movies.
I will say California is a legal state, so maybe that has something to do with it.
Well, with that, I'd like to thank you guys for your time today. I'm glad we managed to finally time where we could all get together.
Dude, thank you guys, man. I was so happy. I was so happy when you reached out and said you actually want to have us on. I'm totally thrilled that you reached out. So thank you.
Before we bounce, actually, tell everyone where they can find you on the internet, on social media, or your website. Where can people find Geekdom Fancast and you guys?
We're on every podcatcher app, whatever podcast delivery service that you use, and Spotify. So just search the Geekdom Fancast. And if you want to catch us on social media, we're just at Geekdom Fancast on Twitter and Instagram. And you can even follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheGeekdomFancast. And I'm at OneMikeOnyMYKE on Instagram and Twitter, and Derek's at The Geek Potato on Instagram and Twitter as well.
That wasn't taken?
No.
The Geek Potato was taken. I put the in front of it, and then it was available.
Aha. Uh-huh.
There is a guy who has Geek Potato, which is bullshit, because he has like two tweets, though, and he hasn't tweeted in like 5 years, but technically he got it first.
Jackass.
So I just put the in there, therefore I got it. I know Mike was like, really, you got that? I'm like, I know, I was surprised myself.
So if your listeners are like want to support us, they could help us dox the just regular Geek Potato so we can get it back for Derek.
That's it. Pod Clubhouse Army. Go get it.
All right. Well, with that, this is Paul from Daily Review.
And this is Mike from Pop Culture Review.
Oh, and this is Mike from the Geekdom Fancast.
This is Derek from the Geekdom Fancast.
And we will catch you guys next time.
Thank you for listening. This has been an original Pod Clubhouse production. Pod Clubhouse is a podcast network dedicated to encouraging collaboration among podcasters and friends to bring a fresh voice and diverse perspective on a wide array of content. Please visit and leave a comment for us at podclubhouse.com. Rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast feeds on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find us at Pod Clubhouse. Our DMs are always open, and we'd love to hear from you. Pod Clubhouse.